There was commentary that said, you folks have never done this. You have no idea what you're getting into, which was true.
We were wondering, okay, how many people will walk out? We'll have to see.
Right in the middle of one of the meetings with the FAA, at 9 o'clock in the morning, we said, excuse us, we have to go now. And they were just amazed because we picked all of our jackets and stuff up and we left.
Nobody really imagined these folks would do that, much less more than 17,000 of them, dwarfing even the infamous air traffic controller strike under President Reagan. The Boeing engineers were self-proclaimed nerds, more analytical than radical. Their union membership was voluntary. Not even half were paying dues when negotiations began. The Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace, or SPEA, had only struck once before in 1993, half-heartedly for one day. So what happened in 2000 to make them stay out for 40 days?
We want respect! We want respect!
There were lots of things that rankled the engineers. Number one, the machinist contract. They had gotten a bonus. They didn't have to pay for their medical plan. Then came Boeing's offer to SPEA. It landed with a thud. No bonus, a less generous medical plan, disappointing wage increases. SPEA's current president, Tom McCarty, was on the negotiating team back then. He says engineers and technicians didn't feel valued.
They felt like the, you know, red-haired stepchildren of Boeing. You know, they got a crummy deal. I mean, there's people personalize that.
But was it really such a bad deal? A lot comes down to perception. Jeff Stamper was Boeing's chief negotiator in the SPEA talks. He says the machinists, for example, didn't get the 401k match that was offered to the engineers. Really, he says, the machinist contract wasn't that much better.
It had its own drawbacks, but the union leadership, at the point they decide that this is, you know, the best that they're going to get, they sell it as outstanding. The company sells it as outstanding. So SPEA wants the same outstanding contract. We're in the unfortunate position that we can't really talk about the cons to their contract.
That would have made the machinists unhappy, he says. But the backdrop to the contentious talks with the engineers was growing dissatisfaction in the workplace. Boeing had just bought the defense company McDonnell Douglas and seemed to import what SPEA leaders say was its bean-counting, anti-union culture. A new vice president ticked off the engineers even more by saying they had to understand they were no longer at the center of the universe. Stan Sorcher led the SPEA negotiating team in 2000.
It really sent the message, you're just a commodity. If you don't like it, don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out.
The engineers and technicians said what they wanted was respect and more say in their work. All of this led up to February 9th, 2000. A federal mediator failed to broker a deal. The union had voted narrowly to strike. But how many would walk? The answer came at 9 a.m. Thousands streamed out. They rallied and then hit the picket sites, which they engineered with characteristic attention to detail. Instead of spending his days designing military radar, SPEA leader Tom McCarty crafted a heck of a burn barrel.
We took the barrel, and there were lids available down at the junkyard. So we got some lids and some stovepipe. Turned out these worked a lot better than the open barrels.
McCarty's burn barrels polluted less, gave off more heat, and have since been used by other strikers. But these meticulous folks also embraced the theater of the strike. Here's a news clip followed by union leaders Dave Ringer, Tom McCarty, and John McLaren.
As bagpipes played and banners flew overhead, nearly 1,000 striking SPEA workers and their supporters made their way through South Seattle today.
We'd put out a chorus line and start singing with our picket signs.
We cooked hot dogs on the burn barrels at lunchtime. We made pancakes in the morning.
I know we did have a member at corporate headquarters that decided he would learn to play the trumpet during the strike. He would take the trumpet, he'd be blowing in it. I think maybe he wasn't serious about learning to play.
There was a lot of joking around, but it wasn't always easy. Some strikers had trouble paying their bills. Money did stream in from other unions, and people in the Puget Sound region donated food, even a truckload of onions. And it turned out the company was suffering more than the strikers.
The Boeing company has now missed delivery of 15 planes because of the strike by engineering and technical workers.
The stock was dropping. Investors were getting mad. Union negotiator Stan Sorcher and SPIA executive director Charlie Bofferding flew down to Napa Valley to crash a Boeing investor conference. They met with money managers who asked them what they wanted. Sorcher says they told them the dollar amount, and one big investor who had been scribbling the figures down stopped.
And he got to the number at the bottom and he goes, I lose that in round-off error every day. You know, this is nothing to me. And he slams his book shut, his notebook, you know, his little folder. And he says, okay, good. And like 3 days later, you know, the wheels were moving.
Sorcher believes the investors put pressure on Boeing to meet the union's terms. In the end, the company gave them everything they wanted. Bigger raises, no medical cost sharing, a bonus, and the promise of a say in the future of the company. Cynthia Cole later became president of the union. She says it was a clear-cut win.
We knew we could hang out longer than they could. And we did.
It was a victory, but for how long? I'll explore the aftermath at Boeing and for the broader labor movement tomorrow. Ashley Gross, KPLU News.